We will open the work session on Senate Bill 403. Senate Bill 403 was sent to this committee technically by a mistake. It deals with the creation of a water safe drinking water revolving fund loan fund administered by the Oregon Economic Development Department. There is no fiscal impact to the state as such, other than the lottery bonding that would be required to be part of it. But it's basically been approved by the substantive committee, recommended out with a due pass recommendation. And if the members choose to have a public hearing on it, we can. But I think because there's no fiscal impact and our time could be better spent working on other budgets, that I would recommend that we accept the motion to move the bill back out to the Senate with a due pass recommendation. Are there any questions?
To go back to the Senate, Mr. Chair?
It goes to the Senate. It was sent down from the Senate Committee on Trade and Economic Development to this committee by legislative referral, previous referral, but it has no fiscal impact.
Mr. Chair?
A representative director?
We're going to be dealing out with the Economic Development Department's budget.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and the fiscal impact has to do with lottery bonding is in another bill.
Okay.
Recognizing that it will be handled in a different bill, I move to just go ahead and just pass back to the Senate.
Representative Butler moved Senate Bill 403 back to the full Ways and Means Committee with a subsequent referral to the full Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Thus, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Chair,
Senator,
I was a little late. I'm sorry. But what's the reason for that?
It was sent down to this committee, Senator, from your Committee on Trade and Economic Development, and it has no fiscal impact. Mm-hmm. And so what we're sending the bill out to bring this revolving fund.
Okay.
Came out of your Trade and Economic Development Committee. Okay. Okay, is there further discussion? Not the clerk will call the roll.
Kusak?
Aye.
Ben?
Aye.
Duke?
Aye.
Hannon?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Schrader?
Yep.
Butler?
Aye.
Passage?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
And the motion carries in this order. Do you have carriers?
I don't need a House member, Mr. Chair, because it will be going to the Senate. Yes.
Thank you, members. I appreciate your cooperation and help on that. We'll open the work session on House Bill 5530, the Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation. Ms. Jordan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to wait until Jenny gets the materials passed out to you.
Okay.
What I want to talk about first is the Natural Resource Fund, and that's a diagram that you are receiving with the information to talk about how the money will flow from the lottery fund to the Parks Department, so that you have some background on the limitations
of it. Before you get into this, Mr. Minan and Ms. Gilbert, you'd both come forward and set up the table so you can be part of the discussions if questions are raised. Jordan?
Okay, so what I want you to be looking at is this sheet that has the state lottery fund in a box at the top. and I was just wanting to walk through how the money will flow through the Parks Department. State lottery funds, money is received, it then goes to the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund, and the constitutional requirement is that 15% of that lottery revenue then goes to a Parks and Natural Resources Fund. And that is, the implementing legislation is in House Bill 3225. There are several pieces of legislation floating around out there, but the vehicle that will create the fund is likely, most likely to be House Bill 3225. From that, they will be setting up separate accounts where 50% of that fund will go with no limit to a Parks sub account, and we will be allocating 100% of that money then to the State Parks and Recreation Department Fund, which is a continuous, which is continuously appropriated to the department. And that money then is limited by the legislature for how the department can spend the money or when the department can spend the money. And then a similar process is occurring on the salmon side.
Are there questions on the allocation of this $44 million for administrator?
The House Bill 3225, that just establishes that account and the two quote sub-accounts, but does not go down to which agency will administer those sub-accounts?
It will. It will designate 100% of that money to the State Parks and Recreation Department.
It will also make 100% of the restoration and protection sub-account go to DAS. Is that correct?
I don't know about that side of it. That side is being handled by the Natural Resources Subcommittee in Kamaraka.
Right.
But on the park side, 100% is going to be continuously appropriated to the Parks Department fund. 100% of the 50%. Then the department, their expenditure limitation bill then will direct the department and what money they can spend, as they do in all their other things. Once it goes to the department fund, which is continuously appropriated, then it's there.
Okay. Follow-up, sir?
Yes.
Does it limit additional revenues to be expended by the Parks and Recreation Department, not from this sub-account?
Does it limit additional money? The department does not have money in their expenditure limitations to spend. The department cannot spend the money. But the legislature doesn't allocate, well, because 100% is being allocated to the fund, it will just stay in their fund until the legislature chooses to increase that.
Rephrase that. Is this the only source of money for the Parks Department?
No.
No. There's fees. There's what other funds?
Well, they have their,
the lottery funds are classified as other funds.
The department, the only source of lottery funds the department has is what they had in the current budget for lottery bonds.
And that was bonded.
So all of the rest of their other source of funds are fees, their service fees, AUC, sales. They have a park trust.
Those are not limited.
If we were to allocate general fund monies for park purposes, would it have to go to this account first and then be appropriated, or would that be separate?
No.
Okay.
Are there any other questions, Senator Chisholm?
No.
Did you?
Okay.
Representative Butler?
I have one other question relative to the interest earnings. The interest earnings would inure to separate sub-accounts. For the Parks Investment and Restoration and Protection Investment sub-accounts coming from the Parks account side and the Watershed and Wildlife account side, is there now just one interest-bearing account, and that would just be the Natural Resource Investment account? Or are there two separate sub-accounts?
There's no account that exists. This was created by the election last November. And the actual account was established by the voter measure, the people of Thurs, designated a natural resources restoration account
and a parts can change.
Maybe 66.
Right.
But with regard to the earnings, I see that we have two separate sub-accounts, one for park investment sub-account, one for restoration protection investment sub-account, as opposed to a single account coming out of House Bill 3225 under Article 15, Section 4. Is there... I guess my question is, when those two accounts are set up, the parks sub-account and the restoration protection sub-account, will they have individual interest-bearing accounts as sub-accounts, or will do we come back up and have a separate interest account coming off of the Parks and Natural Resources Fund?
Representative Butler, there won't be separate accounts for interest. The interest will stay in the Parks Department fund for the parks money. And I'm not sure what they're doing with the interest earnings on the salmon side, but I believe they've decided that they're not going to have a separate interest bearing account.
Okay,
at all.
So there will be separate sub accounts.
There will be.
Okay, thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Beck.
So help me understand this. Money we're going to pull back sits in the parks, state parks and recreation department funds. And in order to spend that money, what has to happen?
Well, if the legislature doesn't appropriate all of the money,
which we have to, don't we?
No, you have to appropriate 100% of the money to parks.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we're doing. We're getting it out of the Natural Resources Fund, allocating 100% to the Parks and Recreation Department Fund. The Parks and Recreation Department Fund is continuously appropriated, and then the legislature provides the Parks Department with an expenditure limitation on their funds. And if there, and just like there are for their other funds, if there's money sitting in there, if an emergency occurs, or if their budget isn't detailed sufficiently for the legislature to approve the expenditure limitation during the legislative session, we can hold some of that money in their account until they provide that information that the legislature needs, and then request from the emergency board an increase in their expenditure limitation. And that's because that account is continuously appropriated that the emergency board has the authority to do that.
And if the legislature, if the emergency board chooses not to expend that money through the next biennium, what happens to that money?
It stays in that account.
So it's conceivable that money that voters approved, $44 million or $90 million. Theoretically, none of it could get spent.
That would be true even if you allocated a dollar amount to Parks Fund and the lottery program, for example, had received more money during the biennium than you allocated to that fund, then the amount of money that came in over the amount that was allocated by the legislature would just sit in the park sub-account until the next legislative session to be increased by expenditure limitation. So it's not any different than, it's not going anywhere else. No one is spending the money except for the purposes defined by the Constitution, which are for park purposes.
But it could be left unspent.
It could be left unspent.
According to the legislature. I mean, that's the legislature's discretion.
That's
fine. Could DAS, is it up to the chair?
Yeah.
Is it the discretion of the emergency board, or is this actually, is it DAS that actually holds this money? Where does this money sit?
Once the legislature allocates the money to the State Parks and Recreation Fund, it sits in the state treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
Bank account, and it's there until expenditure authority is granted to the department to expand beyond their limits, and then it's just an accrued interest. Did I answer your question?
Well, I'm not certified smart on budget stuff, and I have a legislative council for some opinions on the expenditure of money, and they've raised some questions that didn't complicate it more in my mind. I don't see them here.
She was here a minute ago.
I don't see her. I guess from my understanding, the emergency board dealt with emergencies.
Not necessarily.
But primarily, I mean, that's what legislative council thinks.
In 22 years on the board, I think we must have had 5 emergencies. Maratella was authorizing state agencies to seek grant funds, to seek additional money, to release expenditure authority. Gaps and probably corrections, but the majority of the requests are coming back through to increase expenditure authority to spend more money. Is that a fair assumption?
So is that money that's already been
allocated
but not fair?
We do that with the Economic Development Department. We do it with the State Lottery. We do it with a lot of things. Okay. Jeanette Holman, would you like to come forward, please?
There was just a suit, Mr. Chair, about the emergency board and their authority.
There was?
Yes. And it failed. I mean, it's on appeal. But we do this all the time.
Yeah.
We give instructions as a legislature to the emergency board.
Does everyone have a copy of the letter from...
I don't know if that was Representative Vex. So, I don't know who all has a copy and who doesn't have a copy.
Okay, I
don't.
Got a copy. I'm surprised, I guess, at it, but I mean, he's our lawyer, and it's real specific. Thanks for Sandy Becker getting the opinion.
Ms. Holman, welcome to the committee.
If Ms. Jordan, if you would ask the procedural question of your recommendation, what your recommendation is, and then let Ms. Holman respond to it. That is to allocate the money to the e-board while at the same time allocating 100% of the funds to the Parks Department.
Chair Hammond, we're not allocating the money to the emergency board. What we're asking and are recommending is that the 100% of the money from the Parks and Natural Resources Fund be allocated to the State Parks and Recreation Department Fund, at which point then the recommendation of LFO is to limit the Parks and Recreation Department on their expenditures. So that 100% of the money from the constitutional provision is allocated to the Parks Fund. So the question then is that in concert with the constitutional provision of the law?
Ms. Holman, welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jeanette Holman from Legislative Council. If it's okay, could I give you a little background material? We've been struggling with Measure 66 since it passed. And what I would like to tell you is a couple of things. First of all, Measure 66 requires the Legislative Assembly to do a couple of things. One of the things is to establish the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, which is the repository of the lottery dollars. It allows the Legislative Assembly to allocate, at least on the park side, to a variety of state agencies or local agencies, for as long as it's allocated for parks purposes. The monies are clearly in the Constitution dedicated money, just as the gas tax money is dedicated. This money is dedicated to parks. What we stumble on is the language in the Constitution that says the Legislative Assembly shall not limit expenditures from the Parks and Natural Resources Fund. And that's the part that kind of says, whoa, this is different. This is not what we usually have for a constitutional provision or for what the legislature does. We don't know exactly how a court would interpret that language, but I'm comfortable in saying that the court will give meaning to that language. I think it implies, like with many, well, with other lottery funds, that there is some limit on what the legislature can do with those funds. And again, we don't know what that limit will be if a court has to construe it. My job as an attorney is to try and make our best guess as to how you can deal with those funds without running afoul of the provision and without, you know, setting yourself up to be sued. So that's what we've been struggling with ever since the passage of this measure. I think that in addition to having to set up the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, the legislature must allocate all of those funds. They can't have money left over. This is why I believe your committee staff is recommending that you allocate 100% of those funds to the Parks and Natural Resources Department, or Parks, excuse me, State Parks Department. That gets those monies to an agency that can spend them during the interim. Then you move into what controls the emergency board has over the interim expenditures of an agency. Your authority is set forth in the Constitution to operate as an emergency board. You can make four adjustments to agencies. You can allocate funds from the emergency fund, which you set up. Because the emergency fund is not necessarily for the purposes, well, it's not for the purposes set up in the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, I don't think you can put parks money or put the lottery money into the emergency fund. That doesn't comply with the language in Measure 66. That's why I think you need to allocate it to the state park. You can increase expenditure limitations as an emergency board from a continuously appropriated or dedicated funds already at an agency. Again, this is why I believe Ms. Jordan is trying to get those funds into the park's account, which is continuously appropriated to the department, so that the emergency board can reach those funds to allocate them during the interim.
Ms. Holman, let me ask you a question right here. If you were to look at the issue of allocating these funds, the amount of money that would be above the base amount in which to operate the agency, as Ms. Jordan is proposing, you put that in Department of Administrative Services, and all you did was instruct the parks to come back and report, and then DAS would unschedule the money until such time it was needed, and then reschedule the funds. Would that be appropriate as a counter-alternative to the e-board?
Mr. Chair, I don't think you got the funds to the Parks Department.
Well, it's allocated 100% to the parks. We're just saying, and here's our problem. I'll be real candid with you. We gave them $15 million of bonding authority last session. They've got $5 million to. They have $10 million of bonding authority still outstanding. If they go through 2 years and can only spend $5 million on rehabilitation and acquisition, whatever, how in the hell are they going to spend $44 million in 2 years? And what we want is some oversight. And to say, yes, you can do this, you cannot do that, you're spending it inappropriately, you're just blowing it, this is what the issue is. And I was provided a list that showed that they were allocating the $10 million. The $10 million list showed approximately $100,000 for this project. Approximately $100,000. I don't budget approximately. You either have a contract or you don't. But you don't come into the legislative committee and say approximately. And this is our frustration and concern, is trying to get a handle on this budget. We're trying to give the Parks Department the full appropriation, but we want some oversight. Now, if you feel that it's inappropriate for the legislature to have oversight, fine. Put it in Department of Administrative Services and let them have the oversight. Their agency, not mine.
Yes. Mr. Chair, just to clarify, I think what Senator Hamm is talking about is giving the entire expenditure limitation to the department and asking the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule that portion of the money that we would just leave in their sub-account until they have reported to the emergency board and then release it. The issue there is that the Department of Administrative Services can release that money at any time without coming to the emergency board for that authority. It doesn't necessarily require legislative oversight. Once you put the expenditure limitation in the department and you ask the Department of Administrative Services to unschedule the money, then it's up to them to do whatever they want to do with it.
Senator Duke.
Something that was raised in this letter that struck me is have you seen Craig Schenhoff's letter to Rafa? Is the comparison of this money to the money that is continuously appropriated to the Lottery Commission? We've fussed in the legislature about that for years because we can't touch that money and we have no authority over the Lottery Commission. Could you talk a little bit about what you see as, is this really like that one? I mean, I now understand they're both continuously appropriated. Are we in the same situation with parks for this money that we are with the Lottery Commission?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, I don't think they're both continuously appropriated. I think that's where we don't understand what the language shall not limit appropriations or expenditures from this fund really means. It's more than a dedication of funds. It's perhaps less than a continuous appropriation. There's some language in the constitutional amendment that implies the legislature has authority to allocate that money to different agencies for different park-related projects. That, to me, takes it out somewhat as a continuous appropriation, because to allocate it to different agencies requires some limit on those agencies somehow, so they're not all trying to spend all of the money. There's not a percentage set up that has to go to, for example, the State Parks Department in the constitutional amendment, like there is for the Lottery Commission. So that's that kind of gray area that we're struggling with. But I do think it's more than a dedicated fund because of that limitation on setting an expenditure limitation on the money. So I think it's more like a continuous appropriation, but not exactly. That's not very helpful. But
well, we have the ability to put expenditure limitations. Do you believe we have the ability to put any qualifications? For example, if we were to give it to staff as unscheduled money, and staff, upon request of State Parks, would unschedule it, that would be one thing. If we were to give it to staff and say you unschedule it, if you believe that they have appropriately dealt with all of the money they have so far, would that be?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, I think if you give it to DAS, they can make that determination. But it is left up to DAS.
But DAS could make it, but we couldn't.
The Legislative Assembly can't make those administrative determinations. The e-board can require the agency to come and report. They can require the agency to complete a plan for how they're going to spend that money, but you can't approve or disapprove what they're going to do with it. That's the problem with the e-board, because the e-board is an exception to the requirements in the Constitution that the legislature acts as a whole So they have limited authorities, which are set out in the constitutional provisions, and approving or disapproving isn't one of them.
Ms. Holman, I'd like to... do you have a copy of the flow chart?
Yeah.
Well, if we look down here at state lottery fund, and then it comes down to the Y and the road, and then it talks about park sub-accounts, state parks and recreation department fund, that's the full appropriation of the amount of money. Then the next box is a rectangular box at parks and recreation department, expenditure limitation in Senate Bill 5530. In other words, the legislature and set the expenditure limitation. Is that a correct assumption?
Mr. Chair, yes. The legislature can set an expenditure limitation on parks.
While at the same time appropriating all the money to the state parks. Is
that's
that
right.
Correct? Okay.
Does that mean that if this lottery money flows into state parks, because through the account flows into state parks, that we could then write an expenditure limitation that only allows them to spend half of it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke, you could, and that's where you have to be careful about what the e-boards, how they make their decision.
So if we didn't leave it to the e-board, we just said to State Park, here's your expenditure limitation, you can spend, say, two-thirds of it. We wanted to be conservative. And we didn't.
Mr. Chair, Senator Duke's no, I don't think you can do that.
So they get to spend it all and we use.
I think there has to be some kind of mechanism for that money to be used.
Senator, or Representative Schrader.
Given, I think the point that I see here is that this is different than traditional legislative budget controls on page 2 of the opinion. She quoted right from the Constitution. For this particular source of money, I'm not talking about general fund, other lottery money, for this particular source of money, the underlying structure is legislative assembly shall not limit expenditures from parks and natural resources fund. And then just below that, the statement, it says like other parts of Article 5, the provision treats our funds establish a unique financial procedure that limits the application of traditional legislative budget control. So I think we're dealing with a little separate situation than what the e-board or what we're used to on an ongoing and regular basis. Then on page 3, the top paragraph, about halfway down, it says, although the Legislative Assembly may allocate these monies to different state agencies to carry out these purposes, for these particular monies, the Legislative Assembly may not withhold or further limit the expenditures of these monies. So I get kind of uncomfortable for this particular pot of money when on our flow chart, the very bottom portion says additional limitation from the e-board. That doesn't seem to fly in the face of what the Constitution has outlined. That's my concern.
Do you have a response, Ms. Holman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Shader, I think it's where you put the expenditure limitation. I think you can't limit the monies that come in and say, we're only going to spend $30 million of the money that comes in this biennium. I think you can say to parks, you're going to be the recipient of all these monies. We don't know, you don't know how you're going to spend them during this biennium. When you come up with a plan for that, then come in. So you put the expenditure limitations just like you would on any other kind of money in the parks department with the provision that when they decide how they are going to spend those monies and come back and say, we need $10 million more, then the emergency board can release those just like they, or increase that expenditure limitation just like they would. But you, the problem that I see it is if Parks comes in with a plan the emergency board doesn't agree with, and Parks says, here's our plan, release our money, and the e-board says, no way, we don't like that plan, well, then I think that's when the lawsuit gets filed.
Okay.
because the approval of the emergency board, they don't have the authority to do that. I think the language that says the legislative assembly cannot limit the expenditure of these funds adds weight to anyone who would file that lawsuit who wants to argue that the emergency board doesn't have the right to approve or disapprove a plan or a rule or a fee.
Send your kids out.
What if the Parks Department comes to the E-Board with a plan and the E-Board says, we don't like this plan as it is because you haven't shown us from previous, you know, they have an actual reason why they don't like the particular plan, and they tell them, will you please go back, redraw your plan, return to us with a different plan with maybe some instructions so that you're not really denying that expenditure. What you are is you are placing oversight, but you're asking for maybe a little bit of redoing of the plan based upon, you know, some valid reason, which I can't see the emergency board, having served on that, really turning down much of anything unless they really do see a reason why the plan maybe wouldn't work. So what you're doing basically is delaying. You're not, I mean, the emergency board functions throughout the entire interim, 18 months or so, and you could put off that decision knowing that the emergency board during that 18 months would appropriate some money, but if the Parks Department doesn't get it right the first time or to the satisfaction of the legislators sitting on that board, would the delaying of a decision, asking for either more information or a little bit different plan or something like that, would that satisfy the constitutional wording, do you think?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chisholm, it's really a fact situation. It's hard to predict. Depends on maybe they can do part of their plan and you can release part of the money. And so it's hard to tell at this point. I mean, the time to make that determination. I think the legislature, the E-Board, has to be very careful about kind of doing the, you know, go get me a rock situation. Oh, I don't like that color.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing.
I don't think they have done that with this one.
No, I don't think they have either, but that's...
Right. That would be the kind of issue that might create
someone who's saying,
right,
whether or not they have no intention,
right,
of approving this additional expenditure.
Hey, Representative Patrick.
I just want to say, you know, I know Representative Beck got this April 12th, it looks like. It appears that none of the Republicans on the committee got
that's
this,
right,
and the Democrats are the only ones on the committee that got this.
I just,
you know,
got one in a few minutes.
Okay,
ago.
Well, I didn't
come from Representative Beck. So.
Well, I never got one. And
I didn't either.
I don't think most of us did. I mean, it's a 4-page or 5-page complicated legal opinion that, you know, that I think it's probably something that we need to look at, being an attorney on this committee. You know, I'm not comfortable just briefly thumbing through this thing right now and making a decision. So, you know, I think that maybe we need to, if that's, I don't know what the opinion of the rest of the members is, but I think we need to look at this and maybe after we've all had a chance to read it, digest it, maybe possibly some people come back and have legislative council come forward and make a decision on what we need to do with this. I don't want to delay the park budget anymore, but we continue to delay it, but I don't know what else to, you know, I feel like my hands are pretty well tied.
Ms. Jordan has a question that she'd like to ask.
Ms. Holman, are you comfortable with the plan that the legislative fiscal office is recommending to the legislative body on the Parks Department budget?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Jordan, I haven't got to go through this because I got called into another meeting. So, based on our conversation, I think as long as the money is all allocated to parks, and depending on I mean, yes, I am, with the condition, I guess I would say again, of what happens when the e-board, which is a separate issue. I mean, it's something we're not even able to totally address at this point. It depends on what they come up with.
First is in the butter.
But, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to the attorney that's sitting next to me here, attorneys are the only people in the world that can write a 10,000-page or 10,000-word report and call it a brief. but I have confidence that, and number two, we've got to remember that the e-board are, in fact, members of the Legislative Assembly. They are not just people that come in off the street. They're selected from the Legislative Assembly. And finally, I don't think that anyone is saying that any portion of the funds will not go to parks and recreation and those things for which they were intended under Measure 66. It's just that they will be given out to those issues on Measure 66 based upon a plan that is being developed now and will be part of the actual budget package. Mr. Miner has already brought forward ideas as to areas of capital improvement and other areas of discussion. And if during the interim a huge windfall comes to the lottery so that the portion, the 7.5% portion of Measure 66, which falls due to Parks and Recreation, becomes an enormous windfall, far beyond belief of what they had ever expected, then at that particular point, it may be that a portion of that would have to be set back and drawn interest after all of the projects that had been on hand and had been approved for by this subcommittee had been done, and then those would be approved during the next legislative assembly. So I think that if we're at error, we're at error on the side of legislative fiscal, and I think Ms. Holman has told us that she, at this point, does not have any grave misgivings about the council that we're receiving from legislative fiscal, and rather than study this brief for another day or another week and putting this issue off, I'd like to proceed with the council of legislative fiscal. Okay.
I agree with Reverend Patrick, and there's a piece in here from LC that I hope we can consider in the mix. It says, in order to comply with the Constitution in establishing the Parks and Natural Resources Fund, the Legislative Assembly must devise a formula or other method to distribute all of the monies without further legislative involvement. The Legislative Assembly may be able to accomplish this by a percentage allocation formula rather than by a set dollar allocation, or through some mechanism that causes all funds remaining at the end of the biennium to revert to the fund or to a particular state agency for one of the allowed uses. So I think while we may have the ability to approve, it sounds as though we don't have the ability to disapprove. And I kind of like the at least having some discussion about this percentage allocation, so that rather than setting for this money a $40 million expenditure limitation, we would sort of look beyond the box and consider a different mechanism. And I hope in discussing how we set this up that we would consider that.
Okay. Representative Patrick?
I'd like to say I know that the Legislative Council has not had an opportunity to look at what you said, that you did not have an opportunity to look at the budget presentation as presented. I think at least at minimum we need to have them look at how the budget is being presented currently and get some kind of recommendation. I don't want to belabor the issue. It's unfortunate that this came up at the last minute. I wish it would have been presented to the committee if it was felt that there was a problem with how we were going about doing some of the budgeting process. We've known for weeks about what was moving forward and have recommendations in regards to that. Legislative council opinions don't come
that quickly all the time. It takes time, and I understand that, and there's a rationale for it.
Who presented that?
I want to make it clear there was no partisan intent. I didn't get this letter until late Monday evening at my office in Portland. I did share it with the chair yesterday morning and staff and Representative Schrader sometime yesterday. And that's it. There was no partisan intent. I would hate for anyone to think we requested this, I don't know how long ago. It took a while, it's complicated.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beck has been harassing me on a regular basis for the opinion for a couple of weeks.
But I guess if you raise the question, that's when it should have been raised the entire time.
Right.
I feel like it's after the fact that we're trying to deal with the budget rather than trying to raise it as a whole committee issue and deal with it from a committee space.
Chair,
Ms. Jordan.
Members of the committee, the Legislative Fiscal Office has been working with Legislative Council on this, and we have discussed the details of the plan from Legislative Fiscal. She hasn't read the memo, but the concepts are embodied in the recommendation, and they do not divert from what we discussed today. So it isn't as if she has never seen this before, heard about this before.
Chair, I did raise this issue. I serve on the substantive committee that's dealing with the overall bill, and I tend to get the parts from the salmon a little confused from time to time, and we've been dealing mostly with salmon, but I asked the question of wasn't this money continuously appropriated in this subcommittee and was told that no, it was not continuously appropriated and we could do what we wanted to. Apparently not a correct answer from what we know now, but I mean, I did raise the issue a while back.
Mr.
Chairman, I guess, Ms. Coleman, the main issue I feel is can we replace the budget with general fund? I mean, can we replace general fund money with lottery money in this budget? Because $14 million general fund is pulled out of this budget and replaced with lottery funds. And I think the voters' intent is to enhance the budget with a new lottery dollars instead of replace existing general fund money with new lottery dollars. That's an issue I think we really need to clarify.
Senator, I would rather not tread on that issue. It's been covered. The governor proposed backing the general fund out and presenting lottery funds in there. The legislative leadership has proposed doing the same thing. If you have a difficult time accepting the loss of general funds, I would certainly encourage you to visit with the leadership. But that's a policy decision was made. It's not in violation of ballot measure 66. Are you finished?
I just want to say that from the voters' interpretation, it is their intent that it not be the new lottery dollars not to replace general fund money. So I just want to bring this issue out. I just feel we need to keep faith with the voters. I guess I've said that before. In Legislative Council, they're okay with it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, there is nothing in the constitutional provision that prevents the replacement of monies. It's not addressed at all. It's silent on that issue.
Senator Yee,
thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to mention something about process, too. While Senator Duke said that she did raise the question, this particular budget has been scheduled, and I'm hoping that Representative Beck has been working with the chair the entire time to get answers to these questions. If he hasn't, that might be due to the fact that he hasn't been on a budget committee before, and that we worked hard to come to agreements prior to getting to this point and a work session today, which has been posted for some time. I have known about it so that I could be here. But I wanted to ask Ms. Holman a question. I would like your answer to this question because Legislative Fiscal Office said that they have been working with you on the concept of this and that while you may not have read this memo, you understand what is embodied in this Legislative Fiscal Office recommendation. With that understanding and working with Legislative Fiscal, is it true that you have been working with the Legislative Fiscal Office and the recommendation that they have come forward, and that what you understand of it, having not read this memo, but knowing what the concept is that you agree that it is consistent with this amendment, constitutional amendment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chittab, yes, we have. In fact, they're going to put an office down here for me.
Okay.
I have been working with Susie, and when we started, I think we did find some problems with what was being proposed. I believe that as long as they are allocating 100% of the money to the parks, to a fund within the parks that's continuously appropriated to parks for the purposes, you know, that are in the Constitution, which they are, and as long as the request for them to come back for expenditure limitation increase doesn't ride on an approval or disapproval, but rather a report to the e-board or something like that, yes, I think it's okay.
I guess another thing that comes to my mind is if in this committee we have certain requirements right here and now, requirements that we make about plans, business plans, what they plan on intending on doing with this money, how they're going to do it, it would seem to me at this point that we need to be very clear to the Parks Department what it is we expect from them. And as you said earlier, approximately $100,000 for this, that, or the other thing does not make it, then we ought to be okay, and we should be able to move forward today.
Okay. I would share for the record that Representative Beck did provide a copy of his opinion and asked for some help, and Ms. Pat Amadeo, who was from the original proponents of Measure 66, also paid a visit and discussed it, and I suggested that if they had issues, that they might work with LFO and Legislative Council in trying to iron out those issues. And so the chair has been informed all along. It's not anything that originated, but however, it is late in the work session, and if there's not many more questions, I'd like to move along. Representative Beck,
I guess. Trying to get this out of the box of our legal struggle here. We're saying we want parts to bring a plan, some kind of information forward before we're comfortable. And I guess I don't know why we can't demand that now during the session. Again, maybe this is my own ignorance sitting on these subcommittees and knowing how this stuff works. But if there's something they're not providing us, or if there's something they can provide us in the next day or week or month that would allow us to appropriate this money and not have this legal wrangling, I'd be all for sitting down with a subcommittee, if that's relevant, and you know, beating on parts to give us a plan that we can embrace, rather than going back to my constituents in July saying, well, you all voted for Measure 66, but legislature left a bunch of the money kind of in limbo, and the department has to come forward with some plans and beg and kick gas around. If there's a way we can all embrace, if our frustration is they haven't provided us with good information about the current biennium expenditures, maybe they can do that on the short, but also provide a more firm plan about how they would expend next biennium's money. Maybe we can get comfortable with a plan collectively when all 90 of us are in the building, and then leave this building saying, yes, we spent Measure 66 monies responsibly, they've been appropriated, the department's going to do these 20 things. And I guess It seems to me that would be a better approach to me. We still have 2.5, hopefully no more than that, months in the legislature, and the department ought to be able to come forward with that kind of proposal, that we ought to be willing to embrace that and as a group. Maybe that's naive on my part.
I would say by responding, first of all, my 25 years here, I've never seen the legislature kicked down. We cooperatively work together on recommendations, and those recommendations are usually joint recommendations between LFO and DAF. Occasionally there is a minor disagreement over technicalities, but those are usually resolved in conflict, but we sure as heck don't go around bashing DAF. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say that I don't think this is an attempt to try to micromanage the Parks and Recreation budget. However, this is new. It's getting off the ground. It has a substantial amount of money that's going to come in on a quarterly basis to the agency during the interim. They're not having the money all up front. It's going to be paid in quarterly. And I would certainly reflect to me that it would be good business, prudent judgment to have it under some oversight so we make sure that it's being spent and what the people voted for it to be spent. It's not a means of trying to micromanage the agency. We do this with a lot of agencies. And a good business, prudent plan calls for a business plan. And telling me all these projects were $10 million, approximately this and approximately that, just doesn't cut the cost. And I'll be real candid with you. I've been disappointed, quite frankly, by Mr. Minen's leadership over at the state parks. And I'm not enthusiastic about this at all because of I don't think we've got the straight answers. And Mr. Minen shows up in my office, and a little bit later, one of his associates follows up to clean up the detail. And I'm not impressed with this department. I must really be candid and honest with you. And I'm not making personality attacks, but we got some problems with this agency. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, first of all, I also am new to the legislative process, but let me just say this. I have been attending e-board for the last couple of years. I've done so because of my great respect for the former representative that held this particular seat, and because I wanted to learn more about the government process that we go through in the e-board process, and I recognize the degree of great cooperation that there is in the e-board process. The e-board process just doesn't sit around the dais and amongst themselves talk about what they're going to do and then just do it without unilaterally without the input. The input comes from the parks and the recreation folks, those folks that are responsible or charged with those responsibilities. And then you receive counsel from both legislative fiscal and the Department of Administrative Service. So you don't do it in a vacuum. It's absolutely not done in a vacuum. And I've appreciated watching that process. I've never gotten the impression ever in any of the decisions that I've seen in the three subcommittees that I've watched that there was new law being made in that process, that you were basically implementing the wishes, wills, and desires of the legislators in conjunction with what had happened in the previous subcommittee sessions. And so that's why I requested that we, again, a decision has not been made in a vacuum. We do have before us some ideas, some potentials, and some thoughts as to what should happen, and we're receiving counsel from Legislative Fiscal Office. Our officer today is telling us that a portion of that should be set in reserve and then dished out as the plan develops and unfolds. And DAF will have, the Department of Administrative Services will have the input at the same time with, again, the Mr. Minum or anyone in that department. They don't make their decisions in a vacuum. They come and request counsel and input as they develop the plan. Now, let me say with regard to Measure 66, that I think that there's ample evidence that the drafters of Measure 66 did not intend to mix the then existing general fund dollars with the lottery fund because they needed the credibility to pass Measure 66, to say we're going to stick some lottery funds aside, and that's how our parks are going to be operated. And there's some evidence from some of the folks that sat on the Measure 66 Development Committee that they intentionally omitted the general fund discussion. And to add general fund dollars to the state parks at this particular point in time, I believe, would be to place a new and additional tax upon the people of the state of Oregon, potentially to the users of those parks. And of the literally hundreds of emails and letters and telephone calls that I've received, not a single person has been able to tell me that they thought they were voting for a new tax. Now, a lot of them said, we thought we were getting more money, but of course that comes from that same mentality of Measure 52 when the folks voted and said, you're going to have $150 million free to your schools. It will never cost you a cent. And those specific words were used, it will never cost you anything, because it comes all from lottery money. It doesn't cost you anything. And that same mentality applies here. But not one single person to whom I have attempted to contact and reattempted to contact have ever come to me and said to the answer to my question, did you think you were voting for a new tax? Not one person thought they were voting a new tax. And so in that process, I think to come in and do anything other than follow the leadership, and we've talked about the consensus that's involved in this whole process. And in that process of the consensus and the leadership that we have taken is that of the executive leader of this state. The governor himself has forged the way, has blazed the trail, and has shown us that we should remove the general fund dollars. And so with regard to that issue, I think that's now behind us. Let's proceed. Let's take counsel from our legislative fiscal office. We will not, whether it's in the e-board or further on down the road, if we're still in session at that point in time or called into special session or whatever, at that point in time, we will take counsel from legislative fiscal and Department of Administrative Service, and this project will go forward.
Senator Lim, did you have a question you wanted to ask? I owe you an apology.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My answer has been, my question has been answered.
Okay. Senator Biz?
Mr. Chair, I think your idea of the business plan is a very good idea. And I hope that actually, I've been sitting here thinking, I know fairly well one of the members of the Park Commission. We never see him in these hearings, and I wish we had some of them in, and maybe I will give that individual a call and suggest they come to the next, assuming we're not moving this today, one. But I wanted to throw into the mix, if indeed we cannot deny state parks the ability to spend their money in a manner in which they choose to spend this money, then there's nothing wrong with putting the discussion of their projects and what they are and how they are and all the rest of that into an interim substantive committee. I know in the Senate, Ag and Natural Resources handles the park stuff, and Senator George chaired the Parks Committee in the Senate last session, so he has quite a background in it and has been known to get into very interesting discussions with Mr. Minum over how they spend their money. If we don't have the ability to deny it in a substantive committee that has a background in needs and all of that, there's nothing wrong with putting it over there in a substantive committee.
Is there further discussion or questions of Ms. Holman? Representative Schrader.
I'm just trying to summarize this down so I have some idea of where we stand, and I don't know if Ms. Holman can answer that or not, but it seems to me that the discussion revolves around our perception of the management of the department, and I think that there has been some things we'd like to see done better, and hence a lot of LFO's recommendations. The other thing we run up against, though, is that this ballot measure specifically said you have to allocate money. And so usually the legislature's response to a department they had a question about would be to limit the money you give them. And then next session they come back, and hopefully, they would have done a better job, and therefore the legislature would give them more money. And that's the authority I think that we have. I think we're getting into, the reason we're having this big discussion, at least from my standpoint, is we're treading into several different problems. We're kind of getting into the separation of powers thing a little bit. Since this does not allow us to limit the money, we're trying to limit their function. And, while I'm a strong, good manager type person, I think we're treading on dangerous ground with what we're trying to do here. We're trying to get at it in a different way. And I think what, 30% holdback is kind of getting to the point where we're kind of almost designing what they can and can't do. And I could see, 5% or something like we've done in a lot of budgets, but I'm getting a little concerned about the magnitudes and that we're getting into a particular problem in terms of designating what they can and can't do. And to me, that's the Constitution. I just don't want us to go ahead and allocate a budget and have ourselves get sued, promptly, because of the way it's gone out. And Senator Dukes' idea maybe has merit. I think President Beck says too, as far as that goes, we can get some specific information, and then the budget notes are appropriate perhaps, but maybe rather than just the words like if needed and may, we just reference those in a real straightforward fashion that the money will be spent when the plan, D plan comes in. It's not a question of which plan, it's a D plan, A plan. And then that takes our discretionary power away, and I think it starts to get into the constitutional issues a little bit.
Okay. Representative Patrick.
I've had a chance to read your memorandum, and then I'm trying to read through the memo presented by LFO. And maybe if both of you could speak to the, we've got these controls basically on page one of Representative.
What I'd like to do at this point is move to the recommendation. Ms. Holman, would you mind standing there while Ms. Jordan gives a few possible recommendations? Each one has a memorandum copy dated April 13th, Senate Bill 5530, and we'll open the work session on it. Ms. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The memo details the recommendations. In Section 1, General Funds, I'm recommending that we delete the general fund portion and allocate that, appropriate that money to the emergency fund following the, so if the measure is approved by the Legislative Assembly, they can receive the money for the Pioneer Cemetery Program, either in the Department of Ministerial Services or in the Parks Department, depending upon where it ends up. And Section 2 is recommending $55,717,927 in the other fund, reducing the other fund portion of the Pioneer Cemetery Program in line with the first recommendation and Attorney General charges of $2,357. Recommending $3,253,773 in federal funds, and then the lottery fund, I'm recommending that the expenditure limitation be $30,223,924, and that is an expenditure of $20.2 million for administration operations and $10 million for facilities construction program. I wanted to go through the budget instructions a bit. The only reason that I put dollar amount in the instructions was to keep in line with the relative amounts of money that were being proposed by in the governor's recommended budget and by the subcommittee's desire. What I'm recommending is that of the money that has been reduced from the budget, that $5 million of that money be earmarked, I guess, for the facilities maintenance program, and that it be accompanied by the budget instruction number 4, that they provide a detailed report of facility improvement and their maintenance projects, a status report on what they're already doing, and then an explanation of any changes, and then if needed for additional projects, that they come back to the emergency board.
And can we get a take from you? You're on your second page of your memo, section 4. Is that right?
Number 4.
Number 4.
Ms. Holman, would you look at that on page 2, the address of Oregon Parks and sub 4 there?
The explanation underneath, the department is given direction to provide complete details of the facility project investments, providing a more complete basis for increasing the expenditure limitation.
Again, this gets into the issue that the e-board cannot reject these reports. Is that an accurate assumption?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And also, on the previous page, page 1 of the memorandum, it requires the agency to report requirements for local grant programs to the emergency board to seek funding up to $4 million for grant needs, or to the appropriate legislative interim committee, which addresses, I believe, Senator Duke's question, that it can go either. It can go to the e-board, or it can go to the interim parks committee or the agriculture committee. Is that an accurate assumption on that one? I just wanted to clarify that for you.
Can I ask one other question?
Yes.
See, under the lottery thing, we've got increases funding for inmate labor program by this much, the least additional funding for temporary appointments for this much. Is that basically the legislature saying to parks, you can spend the lottery money here, you can't spend it there?
I would say that this is budget categories that the co-chair gave the chair parameters in which to operate with, recognizing that the vast majority of the funds should go to the Parks Department for operation, maintenance, acquisition, and grants. If you'll recall, the members of the committee on the inmate labor issue, the $1 million representative Maddox came in and presented a proposal on this. This is a program that they're already utilizing, but actually, by increasing it here, it buys down some cost over the Department of Corrections.
I'm not questioning whether they're good programs or not. I'm just saying, what if state parks were to decide they didn't want to do that $1 million for inmate labor? I guess what my question is really, are we saying in this, you can spend the money on this, you can't spend it on that, and if that's what we're saying, can we do that?
Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair, if you go to the last page, which is kind of a breakout between the governor's budget and LFO recommendation, it might be a little bit more clear what is the budget. But once you give an expenditure limitation to a department, if they choose to shift the money in within their budget, they can do that. What you're doing when you discuss these areas of services is you are generally agreeing that this is where the money is going to be spent. And they would have to, they would account for that in the next biennial cycle. But they are free to do that. And on the inmate labor program, I've had discussions with the Parks Department about their capacity to carry on their current services in the inmate labor program, and they believe that they are, you know, that is something that they are interested in continuing to do because they have a very good working relationship with the Department of Corrections and they have a need, and therefore that recommendation is there. But going down the list, I'm recommending their policy action package 101 to reduce that by the emergency funding, which is what the emergency board actually is there for. If they have emergency needs, they can come and increase their limitations for the emergency money that they had in that budget. There were two components of that package that were, in my review, they were asking for more money in their services and supplies area than they actually needed, and therefore that money could have been used for other
programs like the local grant programs that could be shifted, so I'm recommending that those be reduced. That is the temporary services and in the services supplies, the $600,000 that I recommended reducing there. So the total here then is $2.3 million. I'm recommending their Ocean Shore and Public Beach package, the historic programs in natural areas, and the update of their natural resource management plans and their parks plan. I am recommending that the park rangers piece be reduced completely, and that they the information systems package for that they called improving park operations be funded. And I am also recommending the shift of the general fund and the lottery fund to the Measure 66 money, and then restoring their inmate labor crews at $1 million. I'm also recommending that $10 million of the $15 million be funded, and that if they need more money for projects, that they can make the complete their plan and report to the emergency board. Land acquisition, I'm not recommending that the money be in their expenditure limitation, but that they provide a long-range acquisition plan with the economic and natural resource impact to the emergency board before that be released for funding. And also, on the local grant program, I'm recommending that that amount be increased to $4 million from the $2 million in the governor's recommended budget, but that the department be directed to present a plan with grant criteria, and that the grant criteria includes some incentive for using state inmate labor as an offset to match requirements for the local program. There is still $319,000 that is there for contingencies or other things that may come up. So that's my recommendation.
Representative Patrick.
I'm looking at your memorandum. I'm looking at 4, 5, and 6. I see $11 million worth of funds that require some kind of e-board action, e-board approval in order for those funds to be released. Is that correct?
Right.
And I just, and...
What the budget instructions are is that the department will report to the emergency board their plan for using the money in those areas, and then they could request that their expenditure limitations be increased.
But if e-board, I mean, what I'm trying to get at is where's the account? If what we're attempting to do here is get some kind of accountability or more details about the plan so that e-board can then move forward and increase the expenditure limitation, what I'm trying to resolve in my own mind is, you know, what's to stop them from just coming in with a little piece of paper and saying, this is what we've got. I mean, does DAS have the oversight to be able to say you can move that forward or not move that forward? Or, you know, where's the accountability here? I mean, my frustration is the language is, the constitutional language is weird, and so then you throw out the accountability from the legislature, and I would argue that that's not what the people of Washington tend to do when they pass Measure 66. But what I'm trying to do is say is get a clear piece of where any, you know, I think there needs to be some accountability. One, where does LFO or Legislative Council see the accountability falling down, and are we okay with 4, 5, and 6 from a constitutional perspective?
Chair, that's been a package. If the department came in with a plan that was incomplete or insufficient for us to make a decision or recommendation for a decision, first of all, DAS would look at it, and they may or may not allow the department to move forward with their plan. But secondly, if it did move forward, we would most likely recommend that action be deferred until the information is complete. That's not a denial of use of the money. That's a deferral until
information is there and a basis for us to make a decision to move forward with the plan.
That's what I think, but I'm trying to get the concurrence. I need something. I'd like to get something on the record from.
Something I asked earlier about the 18 months that the e-board exists and essentially the deferral. And you can answer it again, but she did answer it.
Synergy.
Wasn't clear to me.
Well, thank you. Well, then.
Ms. Holman, would you like to answer for the representative?
Mr. Chair, Representative Petrich, as a lawyer, you know that lawyers, well, again, I guess I would say, you know, if Parks came in with a one line, this is the plan, then you have a fact situation that is going to support the e-board in saying you still don't have a plan. But if they come in with a six volume plan for how they're going to spend this money, then I think the argument is less that, you know, if the e-board says you don't have a plan. You don't know until you get that tax situation. Again, I mean, it is complicated by the constitutional language that says they can't limit the expenditure of that money. So I think it would behoove the emergency board to be more careful than usual in denying those funds.
But my question is there four or five tips that are set up within this current budget, is legislative council comfortable with the way those are set up?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, you haven't visited me enough. yes, I'm comfortable with that at this point.
That sounds pretty qualified.
Is that good lawyer?
But I do, they can't, they do this all the time, again, with the caveat that if Parks present, these are not asking for approval or disapproval by the emergency board. You know what? None of these notes are asking for that. That's a major concern because of a whole lot of other constitutional issues that are raised by that. But I do think that it's the way it's set up now, it's okay. But it's
depending on how e-board acts,
yeah,
it's okay. I want to get that on the record, okay?
Mr. Chair, a lot of these ask for reports. The emergency board can accept or reject a report. That is not denying allocation of funds, so they can accept or reject, and when you reject, you send that. What normally happens is that agency goes back and redoes their report so that the e-board will accept it. The other thing that was brought up about litigation, it would seem to me that if there is litigation to happen, where that would happen would be in the e-board if for some reason there is a denial. So that's down the road, and maybe we would welcome that. Maybe that would clarify exactly what it is this measure does. But I don't think, since there has been collaboration here with our legal counsel and the legislative fiscal officer, I think that we ought to be comfortable with what has been done so that, you know, if there are legal questions later, that will happen at a point that our emergency board takes the wrong step.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler. Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I think one of the things that is being said as well is that anybody can sue anybody for anything at any time, and to try and insulate with as much email and as much correspondence as we've all received on this particular issue, to try and insulate the state or the legislature from any kind of a lawsuit at any point at any time over this issue would probably be fruitless. So we'll just do our very, very best. And again, I want to express my confidence and legislative fiscal office and their cooperation with the Department of Administrative Services. Just one item I would like to see added, however, to the language on the land acquisition portion is that as part of the budget no narrative in that process is that one of the things that we really haven't discussed in great detail, other than just some discussion on one particular day, was that the Oregon Parks Association, which would represent some of our local parks, should be also considered in their plan, and I would just like to see that under that budget footnote, so that they will have the latitude, and that may, in all seriousness, that may go ahead and head off some type of litigation if people feel like that local parks are being considered in addition to state park membership. Thank you.
Thank you,
Representative Scott. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the bottom line here is accountability, and I think that we have to hold the agency accountable for the dollars that they're going to be allocated to them. I think we talked this to that, and I would recommend we move forward on this budget. Let's put this thing down behind us.
Thank you. Representative Patrick.
Sorry to interrupt the chair, but my only other question is, then, if LFO, I'm comfortable with those parts of the budget now that we've got on the record. My only concern is I see the $11 million in things the programs that E-Board has to approve. Where's the additional, I guess, $2,919,000? What kind of approval are tied to those on the back?
And that's just a specific question, Mr. Chair.
I would point out, are you talking about the bottom square with the figures there, possible distribution of major 66 reserve?
There, the $2 million is the emergency money.
Yeah, that actually sets up the grant in hand.
It's just for emergency purposes.
$2 million.
It's for emergency
purposes. Yeah. Cases are flooding the park or whatever.
I want to make sure that you're okay.
Representative Schrader?
Just a specific request. Some of the coastal representatives in the House have approached me. We're taking out the entire beach program for as part of Package 104. There's originally $520,000. There have been some recent accidents on the coast, and there was a request that maybe at least one FTE could get something off the ground, might be of benefit to the people of the state of Oregon, and maybe $250,000 or so, reducing that original $520,000. And this was in light of the recent problems over spring break. This is a request that was brought forward, and I thought we should discuss that.
Package 104.
I believe that was the original
make park pay for park rangers.
Mr. Chair, there is one position and some services and supplies to purchase educational materials on beach safety in that package.
Is that the $2.3 million?
It was $520,000 of the total package was, or around there. I have to look it up real quick.
Senator Q-Tab.
Thank you. Safety information seemed to me was about logs hitting people with waves, and it didn't really have anything to do with spring break. That's more of a police enforcement issue than it is, I think, beach safety.
No, I wasn't referring to the students in the beach. I was talking about the child that got smashed by the log on the beach. That was during their spring break. And that has happened before. That was an issue.
In fact, it's the second injury. Right. Just being there the day before yesterday, I heard about that. The second child. It's indicative of that shore.
It was $486,077 in the budget.
My suggestion is the chair and committee was interested in me to reduce that down to about $250,000 and each live program to be pursued. I'd be interested in Senator Deuce's comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to get around to asking why. I noticed in our memo it says reduces $2,399,671 for 11.5 FTE park rangers in parks and one FTE for beach safety education program.
I know that
education safety programs don't sound like a great deal, but from Astoria to Brookings, we have problems. And we have a bigger problem right now because with all of the storms, we have a much larger number of logs in the ocean than usual. I visited Rockaway Beach one day to see the piles of logs that were sitting right next to the highway. Well, a couple of weeks later, another storm brought them onto the highway. People don't understand this stuff. We have a lot of vandalism. As we post the signs. If you ever go out on the beach, stop and read the signs. Very few people do, but we post them. And we try to do education in motels, and chambers do it in motel rooms, and we've got the tsunami warning signs up. And a couple of the cities even have tsunami alert systems. But there's still a lot more that needs to be done. And we do kill somebody with logs just about every year. We're killing, more of them are dying at the moment because there's more logs out there. There's this huge fear of what's going to happen. I heard the comment about let the police enforce it, and I want to know what police they are. Because we have an awful time. As the, you think they're shrinking on highway, on the state highways, you ought to try to get them out to the beach. We get cadets in the summer sometimes. But they can do a lot to warn people who are in dangerous situations. And I just, now is really not a good time to get rid of the educational package that they're requesting. And other times I might not have paid much attention to it. But the beach is a beautiful place to be right now, but it can be a very dangerous place as well. And it's from one end of the state to the other.
Mr. Chair. Senator Duke, the reason that I recommend that package be eliminated is because the earth fund is not as stable as other funds may be, and investing in FTE and ongoing permanent services didn't seem to be the fiscally responsible thing to do, that investing that money in other areas that could be pulled back if the lottery money doesn't materialize. It is the newness of getting this money and the fact that the fund isn't going up, it's starting to go down, that I made that recommendation. That's the rationale, if the committee wants to entertain increasing it for the education program.
Before I accept the motion, Representative Patrick, down at the bottom of the last page, it says other opportunities, $319,671. That's where your volunteer program would come out of. If we take the $250 as proposed by Representative Schrader, that would reduce the $319,671 by $250,000. So that would probably put your volunteer program on the roadside. Just want you to be aware of it. Do you still want to go with the 250, or do you want to discuss it?
Discuss the 250.
The
beef
safety
program. The beef safety program. Representative Schrader.
Yes, sir.
That's fine. If you look at the bottom of the page, the last page, it's $319,671. It says other opportunities in the box, $319,671. Representative Patrick has approached the chair about creating a program using volunteers in some of the parks. If we're to reduce that by $250,000 to add back to the speed safety program, the net effect is it would eliminate the volunteer program.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the reason that we were interested in the volunteer program was because we felt like that by having that volunteer program up and running, we can compound our hours of community service 10 or 20 fold easily by using the volunteer program.
Representative Patrick.
I think the program cost is $174 for a volunteer coordinator and some appropriate volunteer materials as well as computer and all those things that are needed. If we looked at the one volunteer person we have and the leveraging that we get dollar-wise, I think it makes a lot of sense We talked about having that person be proactive rather than so reactive on volunteer things, lining up service organizations, helping line up service organizations and other organizations to leverage our abilities to repair, construct, keep clean state parks. And I felt like those money would be well spent.
I would like to use the wisdom of Solomon and give both of you, let me see that figure. Francis, Representative Traynor, your total amount would be $243,631. Representative Patridge, your amount would be $174,040. And then you both wind up with a program and we're not being adversaries. We try to build consistency.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion?
I have a question.
Yes, Ms. Senator Duke, reply.
I am. I'm just trying to figure out what we get for $243,631.
You get the beach station program, as I understood.
So a person and the opportunity to do materials and that sort of thing?
Okay. Representative Beck?
Well, I had a question about the land acquisition piece, since I do some of that for a living. I have some sense of the cost of land, and I guess I'm concerned about the $2 million limitation. I know Parks is looking at land acquisitions that exceed well above $2 million, and if they have a one-time opportunity to acquire a piece of land along the Willamette River or on the coast or something, and or let's say they have three projects that come to them and that they're either going to be developed in the next 6 months or but the owner's willing to sell its parts if they can come up with the cash, but if the combined total is, $3 or $4 million, what does this limit their ability to come and see the emergency board? The land expenses, we all know property.
The answer to your question is no. It does not limit the park's ability to come back and ask for expenditure authority to replenish the account and the
or move monies around.
All right, there's nothing to preclude the parks department from reorganizing monies that we give them in their budget to allow them to acquire the property if necessary.
This budget note number 5.
Budget note number 5, top of page 3.
Not limit their ability to come say we need $4 million. And I guess the same would apply for the local grant. If they feel that we all feel that $6 million makes more sense, they can still, this doesn't limit that, the e-boards.
That's correct.
Or to ask if whoever's going to make this decision.
No, the amounts that are in the budget memo are, I guess you could put the suggested amounts, but they're there because those are the amounts of money that the subcommittee and the governor's recommended the agency has been talking about. That doesn't preclude the emergency board from making shifts in those amounts of money if a better plan emerges and the department wants to pursue that. Right.
Okay. It's just that there's no way the legislature can officially deny it. They can't do that. Okay? Senator Lem.
Could you explain to me or anyone what that difference is? Beach? Beach means an ocean beach or like a river beach? Or what the definition of that beach? I'm talking about in conjunction with a beach state beach.
Mr. Chair, the department has characterized it as the ocean beach safety program.
I think we should do more than that. There's a lot of rivers around, and the children are drowning. It's not just a lot, just walking down the people. There's a lot of areas very dangerous. And I think we should extend the definition of a beach, including the tributaries and rivers also. I believe that the beach safety program should be increased.
Because the state parks do not really have technical jurisdiction over rivers and streams in Oregon versus the state beaches on the on the ocean front. I think what you'd probably have to do, Senator, is propose some substantive legislation to change the statute to emphasize beaches along rivers and streams in the state of Oregon. And then you'd need additional FTE to accommodate that project.
You don't think that the Columbia River or Sand River, any area, is not long for the...
Unless it's directly related to a state park function, no. Pardon me?
It's Division of State Lands. It's not
yeah.
State Park.
Representative Chairman,
I have a question under Section 4.9.3. Delete reference to allocation from the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund. So why are we deleting the reference to the lottery fund?
I believe this section is for Ms. Coleman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the money is flowing through the Natural Resources Fund that hasn't been established yet. So I'm recommending that this language for this bill go back to the constitutional provision so that as the bills move their way through the legislature, they can merge at the end. That's the only reason for that.
It's a technical adjustment waiting on the passage of the substantive bill that sets up the account.
So at the end, the account for the lottery and the account for the natural resource funding will be the same.
I think that bill passed the Senate yesterday, by the way. We had a bill up dealing with the lottery and setting up a natural resource. So it's working its way through the system.
That particular bill hasn't gone out of substance yet, so it's still being worked on. But there is implementing legislation that will establish the appropriate account for the money.
Mr. Chair, just one question.
Senator,
how much are we funding for the beach safety issue?
Beach safety, $243,631. And the representative's original motion calls for $250,000. So we reduced a little bit on the beach and granted both programs.
Okay. Could we understand that each definition includes the other all public beaches?
No.
No.
We are not a standing committee.
Okay.
Representative Patrick.
On the other concern on this budget. Now, can we release legislative council?
No, I want to have her retained for a few moments because there's some additional questions.
Okay, my only other concern is on Section 6 in regards to the $4 million on local grant program. We're incentivizing those places that use the state inmate labor. While I don't mind putting $1 million in for state inmate labor for state parks, I have some concerns about whether we should be incentivizing the local grants for, my envision of local grants is for park acquisition or to maybe build a new program. We had testimony about, having some after school programs for kids. Obviously, those kinds of types of programs are not going to be incentivized by having inmate labor as part of their grant. I know that there are trail pieces and other things that they can use for the, if it's a park acquisition kind of project, I don't mind saying that we may give preference to those, but there's lots of new and innovative programs out there, and I have concerns about the state inmate labor piece of it. One, because I'm from Southern Oregon, and we don't have anything from Southern Oregon. That are going to be available to receive that incentive as part of the grant process. But two, I think that there's a lot better program.
I feel like we shouldn't be, I feel like the use of inmate labor is more for maintenance oriented items, not, shouldn't, not for the grant piece of the state park. And that's, I guess that's my concern.
I offer that up to the rest of the committee for discussion.
I think that it's an important piece. I'd like to, you know, we're, at least from my coming off of city council, we were, you know, our need is not so much for the maintenance stuff, it's for the land acquisition piece of the park or doing those kinds of things.
Ms. Jordan?
Mr. Chair, I represent the practice. I might make a suggestion and change that to request that the department look at that as a possible criteria, and because they have indicated that they would like to get local parks involved in establishing the criteria, and maybe once they could put that on the table and let the let their work group work out whether that's a viable criteria that would make sense to local parks. It's not a cast in stone necessarily requirement.
That would be fine.
Okay, Senator Newt.
Brooklyn Patrick makes a good point. Let's keep sitting over the trainers. Areas away from, as long as it's a state inmate labor, areas away from the state penitentiaries are at a disadvantage.
Well, Jackson Gatlin will soon have one of its own.
Well, we're moving to the world.
11 years.
But the rest of us may have some difficulty. I have a question for Jeanette, though. There's language, and actually that number six is just as good as any of the rest of them, but there are a few of these that will say, you know, if needed, but this one says the department may request an increase in expenditure limitation up to $4 million. Is that, under all this discussion we had earlier, does that work? Can we say you can come and ask us for $4 million, not $4.5 million, not $5
million? Mr. Chair, Senator Duke's budget notes are not statutes.
I realize
they're
that.
They're guidelines. And agencies are encouraged to comply with them, but it's not like a statutory requirement. So I have less concerns about what's in a budget note. It has been, the courts actually have determined that budget notes have no binding authority on an agency. So I think the e-board would be free to adjust up if they had a request for more.
Okay, Representative Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment on Representative Patrick's comment. And I wouldn't disagree with LFO's recommendation on the, using the state inmates. But in my community, we've acquired significant park land, undeveloped, forested, trees, underbrush, and those park facilities need development. And inmate labor could be a resource that would make a big difference in my community, in the parks that we have in my community. So I think that the recommendations on LFO would accomplish that and allow the local park folks to have a voice in that discussion. I think that's appropriate.
Well, I guess we're ready to move on the LFO recommendations that we have been presented here this morning, that have been thoroughly discussed in the work session. You've heard the proposal by Representative Patrick to amend item 6 or subset of the recommendations on the budget notes to redefine the grant criteria to allow the department to come back with some possible uses of inmate labor for cities and counties. That is, were possible to the possible grant criteria. The possible, right, word is what we're inserting.
With that recommendation, I move it with that pleasure, Mr. Chair.
Well, let's just do one thing at a time. We can't take it too quick here. I know we're up against the time frame. Is there any discussion, and is there any objection to adding the word possibility to the grant criteria? If not, it's been so approved. Is there any further amendments or changes we need to make?
Do you want to add a position for a beach safety program?
Oh, yes.
At 243.
Representative Schrader now moves the subcommittee add that one FTE and the $243,678. $631. $631 that's required to go with the FTE position. and also the volunteer opportunity, or the volunteer coordinator.
We'll do it one at a time.
We'll do it one at a time. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's so approved. Representative Patrick now moves to volunteer coordinator at $174,040. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. Ms. Jordan, anything else we have to do on this budget?
No, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to call your attention to the three other budget notes. One is that the department report a cash allocation plan for distribution of the lottery money. Since the money is recorded quarterly, they need to manage that very carefully and should report to the emergency board how they're doing that. And the other two budget notes, one is for them to develop a program budget for the next cycle and report that to the emergency board, and develop their plan to convert fully to the statewide financial management system and present that report to the committee.
We also added, Mr. Chair, the language that's relative to the land acquisitions that the Oregon Park Association be considered as part of the land acquisitions.
Correct. Representative Butler now moves that we amend Senate Bill 5530 with the LFO recommendations as presented and approved by the subcommittee. Is there further discussion?
Is this the final?
No.
No.
Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. The bill is now ready to do whatever the committee chooses. Do you want to leave it here? Do you want to pass on it to the full committee? Do you want to work it additionally or what? It's up to the committee. The chair's preference is to move it.
Mr. Chair, I would move the amended Senate Bill 5532 to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cusub now moves Senate Bill 5530 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Senator Yee.
In the discussion, I'm going to vote no, Mr. Chairman, because I feel that the voter's intent is to enhance the park with $44 million and not supplant general funds with new lottery dollars. The parks has about $120 million backlog in maintaining and restoring facilities, and we need to move ahead to take care of that backlog rather than waiting 15 years for the lottery money to take care of it. So for these reasons, I'm a no.
Further discussion? Representative Schrader?
Yes, sir. I still have some problems with the overall budget here. I mean, I think we're treading on very shaky ground with especially the Measure 66 and some of the limitations we talked about. The budget limits may not have statutory authority, but clearly they limit expenditure limitations. $13 million is a lot of money to hold back. It's 30% of this budget. I'm very sympathetic. I understand the accountability portion. Father Moore on this committee said maybe the chair is more into that than I am. But when you're talking about 30%, I think that clearly steps over the line of where our authority is. I just don't think that's appropriate. And I think the people of the state of Oregon would strongly object to that. The other issue, I go along with Senator Yee a little bit on this barn. You know, what do the voters want? We spent a lot of time here on that issue and in other forums and other referrals and stuff. I think I tried to offer up a compromise that the original House leadership and co-chair thought was fine regarding debt service, a small amount of debt service for capital improvements. Makes sense. It's logical. It's good business. And then I got shot down, and then we're going to appropriate $150 million worth of lottery-backed bonds, you know, for schools, and it's going to go for operations. And I just strongly object to that. That's my humble opinion. It's a travesty. We're not doing what is right using operational money or using bond money for operational money. It's just not right. $15 million in bonds for capital construction with that $120 million backlog makes a lot more sense. It just, I can't believe we're going down this road because of pure politics. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And I just think this budget, unfortunately, is inadequate. Representative Beck has said that, you know, that the few million dollars is going to go for land acquisition. Land is disappearing in the urban areas at a super rapid rate. My town has tried to develop a park district. Sandy has developed park districts. Representative Starr's area is doing the same sort of thing. The few million dollars here is not going to go very far. I just think we're going down a very dangerous road that goes against totally what the voters are saying. We're breaking faith with them in a big way, and I understand there's problems with maybe some of the administration here, but I guess I'm going to end up voting no way. It's a long-winded statement, but I'm very, very concerned here.
Senator Starr, our representative. Senator Goodson.
At this point, I'm going to support the budget, but I'm real nervous about this budget for all of the reasons Representative Schrader and Senator Yee have mentioned. I know, I assume all the rest of you are under the same intense pressure. Maybe not, because I live in a unique area in the state. We all do, but I've got a lot of state parks and a lot of beautiful areas. So maybe I'm getting more of the pressure to not support a bill that doesn't have general fund money in it. I think that you've done a lot to try to enhance this budget, given the limitations that you've been handed. I'm real concerned about what the uproar is going to be if we pass the budget with no general fund money and the uproar out there. And I don't blame that side. At this point, I'm going to stick with it.
Mr. Chairman, I know I worked on this issue last session, and the legislature 2 years ago failed to give parks adequate long-term funding, and so I worked with group citizens on the Measure 66 committee to draft a measure, and spent a lot of time during my interim getting Measure 66 passed as an imperfect solution, but at least something that the voters would approve, given the legislature's reluctance to address the park problem. And obviously, I am frustrated here as probably the only member of this committee who put countless number of hours into Measure 66 campaign and efforts, citizen efforts that received 65-66% support from the voters. And I think I quibbled with the governor over his approach to taking the general fund out, and I had hoped that the legislature would have had the courage to counter the governor with keeping that amount of money in the budget, whether it's through general fund or if we're unable to do that for other reasons, find the lottery-backed bonds, which Senator Schrader has suggested. These would have been ways, in my mind, to keep faith with the voters and start making the much-needed investments in improvements and expansions that we desperately need. I see this stuff on a daily basis. I travel the state a lot. I have a big sense of what is needed out there, and I think we're not doing what the voters have said. I think I'm troubled that this has not been a more collaborative process to help the department provide us information, better information. If we don't feel it's adequate, I would have been more willing to hold this off and get the information together so that we would not have to hold this money back. I have a real problem with sticking this large amount of money out to be quibbled with over the interim, when I think we still have time in this building. The department could certainly provide us information to get us more confident. I'm willing to work in a bipartisan manner to make that happen, and I'm troubled, with all due respect to my colleagues, that we're not more willing to sit down and get the plan from the department in the coming weeks, so that we can be more confident and appropriate this money now, so that I can go back to my constituents and say, this is where the money's going to be spent. We have the means to do that. We should be doing it. I'm going to vote no. I will be urging my other colleagues to do the same.
Representative Patrick?
I'd like to say, this is over a 30% increase. We're putting the money where Measure 66 voters wanted it to go. We're putting it towards parks acquisition. We're putting it towards the maintenance. We're putting it towards local grants for local park projects.
I think that that was the intent. I think we had evidence that we saw before this committee that there was some intent not to make it clear. Maybe so the legislature would have to deal with it. You know, the writers of Measure 66, while I applaud parks and support parks, also just took from the funds that were available to every other department out there, whether it be schools, Department of Human Resources, any of those things. All they did was dedicate a certain portion of funds. It didn't say, in addition to the general funds, it wasn't clear to voters. I don't think that argument holds a lot of water. I've talked to several school people who were involved in that, as well as school staff were involved in Coalition for School Funding Now or other things, that were assured that this wouldn't take any money away from schools. Well, if it takes money out of the general fund, it takes that money away from other programs. I think this is a responsible way to do it. I think we've had many hours and days of discussion in this committee on this. The governor recommended that we not use general fund dollars as well. I think it's been a bipartisan approach to doing this, and I'm going to support the budget.
Mr. Chair, I move the previous question.
Senator Keith, I've moved the previous question. The question is a main motion to move Senate Bill 5530 as amended to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, one second. What is the total amount are we talking about? I haven't taken any of the DVD yet.
The total amount is $93,361,520 plus the $319,671 that you added.
Okay, if there's no other discussion, then the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
No. Lamb?
Aye.
Hughes?
Aye.
Cannon?
Aye.
Beck?
No.
Schrader?
Oh.
Butler?
Aye.
Passage?
Aye.
Star?
Aye.
The motion passes. We are adjourned until 8:30 tomorrow morning. Thank you, Jeanette.